So the title of this morning's preach is called Prayer Changes Lives. I just need to take a sip of water. Dan, if you can put that first scripture up for me, Matthew 5:16. There we go. Should have been the NIV version. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Read it again. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. You see, God wants us to shine for him. He doesn't want us to walk around like dull objects. Now, many of us assume dull positions or postures. We think we're very dull. But God actually wants us. And it's one of my favorite scriptures is, you know, you don't take a light and hide it under the bed. You take it and you put it on a hilltop so your light may shine bright. And that's what God wants us to do. But he just doesn't want you to be receivers of his light. He wants you to be carriers of his light as well. Let me repeat that. He doesn't just want you to receive his light. He wants you to be carriers of light. So when people see you, they can see there's something different in you. There's something that's changed in you, and that is the light of God that he's blessed you with. See, it's not only the light that he wants us to receive. He also wants us to receive his grace. He also wants us to receive his mercy. He wants us to receive his purposes and his plans for each one of us. He doesn't want us to remain just where we are. And our problem is sometimes we stop right there. We come to church like we did this morning, all excited and amped to go and watch some guys chasing an oval ball around, grunting as they rub their ears together, kick it up, chase. Go through the same pattern 20 times, kick the ball away again, and there we go again. So exciting, the game of rugby. So sorry for all the Springbok supporters. I'm not the best rugby enthusiasts or fans. But later on in the afternoon, we'll watch Liverpool thrash Manchester United. There we go. I've got the mic now. Preach it. In faith, we claim victory. You see, we come to church and we say, look, I'm here just to receive a word. I come here today just to be filled with God. I come here today just so maybe somebody's going to give me a word, a prophetic word or something. What has God got for me? I need God to encourage me today so I can be encouraged for the week. But actually, and he does do that, amen? He does do that. I mean, a lot of us come here and we do get filled and we do receive the prophetic words and everything. But God does more than that. He says to you, I don't just want you to receive. I want you to be carriers of my light into this world which is so confused and which is so dark and which is so messed up at the moment. And now, God also wants you to see, and this is the thrust of this message this morning, is that you're going to play an important role. You're a catalyst in his plans and his purposes, not only for your life, but for other people's lives as well. You're a vital link between yourself and somebody else coming to know Jesus Christ. Amen? I always say this, and I've said this to you guys before. Sometimes we know, look, I raised my hand, I gave my life to the Lord back in 2003. I'm saved, I'm good, I've got my get out of hell card in my back pocket, and I'm okay. But as for my neighbor, as for my colleague, as for my friends, they can go to hell, that's okay, because I'm all right. No, that's not all right. God wants to use each one of us as an instrument, as a tool, a light bearer, a light carrier of his to bring people to knowing him. And today is the day that we need to believe that anybody can receive Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. If we have faith in him and we trust in him, we can believe that we are light carriers. It doesn't matter if you know the guy or don't know the guy. If you're a shaker and mover, you could be one of the top 50 most influential guys in the world. Jesus wants you or that person to know him and to get into a relationship with him. Everybody, doesn't matter who it is, you can think of somebody right now in your mind. Everybody is a candidate to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So what we need to do is we need to be bright. Now, this topic didn't come out because there's darkness around us, like Eskom have switched all the lights off. Now we'd like put on the light. But it's actually so pertinent. I was thinking about that the other day. You know, you got these LEDs that when the power's off, they come on automatically and let your light shine bright. We are in fact that in this world that is so dark, so corrupt, so gnarly, that we can still shine because there's a hope that's set before us in Jesus Christ. So I was thinking this morning, how many people will change because of this specific message today? How many of you will get people to change because of this message today? So there are three things, three words. The first one I spoke about is you need to let your light shine for Jesus. The second word is pray. And the third word, which we'll cover this morning, is share. So shine, pray, share. SPS. We're going to pray a little bit later, collectively and individually. And we'll ask God if you'll take this word and apply it to us in a specific way into our lives. If there's somebody out there that this word will be good for, that we can pray for them so that they can come to know the Lord and His plans and purpose for them. So let's talk about the first one first, and it's about prayer. There's an important statement that I'd like to make right now. Prayer. Holy Spirit's here. Prayer is the kindest thing you can do for another person when you're praying for their salvation. The kindest thing you can do. Now, I know many of us will say, hang on, there are many people that are hungry. There are many people that are lost. There are many people that are abandoned. There are many people. And that's what we tend to focus on sometimes. We say, yeah, as a church, we need to feed the hungry. And that is good. Sometimes we need to rise up and go and feed those who are hungry. Sometimes we need to go and clothe those people that need to be clothed. And sometimes we need to go and rescue those people that have been abandoned. But I don't believe it's an option between either A or B. It's actually both. We will feed those who are hungry, but we'll pray for them as well. We'll pray for their salvations. It's no use to just, the guy that's standing on the street corner begging that you go and give him a sandwich or 10 bucks or 20 bucks, whatever you feel led to give the person and say, yeah, go and have a meal. You're kind and you're being generous in some way, but if you want to be kinder, pray for his salvation. That he may come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. If you can put the next scripture up, Dan, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 6. And this will answer some guys' questions. Can you change it to the NIV? All of them are NIV, please, Dan. One Timothy, Paul is writing here, and he says, I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made, I'd like you all to say this with me, for everyone. For everyone. For kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. How amazing is that? It's not for some. It's not for the select few. All men. And it pleases God. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men. The testimony given in its proper time. Now I'm going to just flip over to another version quickly because it's so pertinent to this message. You get another version, it's called the Passion Translation. Now I don't recommend that you read this all the time, but I just think it's so apt for this message, and I'm going to read it to you. He says this, 1 Timothy 2, 1, 1, 2, 3. He says, most of all, I'm writing to encourage you to pray with gratitude to God. Dave, with gratitude. So I'm grateful that you guys are all here, that most of you sitting here have a knowledge of Jesus Christ, who he is, and you're in relationship with him. Pray for all men, Not some men, specific men. Pray for all men with all forms of prayers and requests as you intercede with intense passion. With intense passion. And pray for every political leader and representative so that we would be able to live tranquil, undisturbed lives as we worship the awe-inspiring God with pure hearts. It is pleasing to our Savior God to pray for them. How awesome is that? So Paul urges us all to pray for all men, and that's what we need to do. So as I said early on, pray right now. As you're sitting here and as you take a writing notes, you want to memorize something as you leave here, this could be a take-home point for you for the rest of the week, the rest of the month, the rest of the year. Prayer is the kindest thing I can do for somebody. Prayer is the kindest thing I can do for somebody. And as I said, if somebody's hungry, you can feed them, but pray for their salvation. 5 reasons why we should pray and why we should get serious or passionate about praying for people. Yeah, there are. Firstly, you can. Nobody's stopping you from praying for anybody. You can pray. And some of us forget to pray. Now, I look at that thing over there on the side. There's souls trusting for and one next to it. Now, many of us, I remember when we launched that, we said, if you're believing for somebody to come to the Lord, write the name on that wall, drop it in there. We're trusting for that person to come to the Lord. Honestly, let me ask you this. How frequently have you prayed for that person's name who's on that wall at the moment? You pray for it once, you pray for it daily. Some of you every day. Awesome. I can tell you my own life. So I got saved in October 2003 along with my gorgeous wife, Laureen. I was 47 years old when I got saved. Now, I don't believe that my mom or whoever prayed for me woke up in October and started praying for me October 2003. I believe my mom started praying for me when I was probably 8, 9, 10 years old, if not sooner than that. And she prayed for 47 years or 43 years or 42 years as she watched me go on this road of destruction, destroying my life, destroying my reputation, doing things that I shouldn't be doing. But she was in the background praying earnestly and passionately, Lord, save him. And we mustn't give up on the people that we have been called to pray for. Because you can pray for people. We're alive and we have, now listen to this. This is something that you need to remember. Like I said, you've got a card in your back pocket. Here's another card. You have a direct line to God Almighty. It's like a red telephone on your desk there. You can pick it up. Not Mr. President. You say, hey, God, it's me. I want you to save Rion. He's lost. He still supports Manchester United. But isn't it amazing that we have a lifeline to the sovereign king, the creator of heaven and earth? You can ask him anything. And he says in 1 John 5:17, ask me anything and I'll give it to you. Now, he doesn't say ask me for a Ferrari. I'm not going to give that to you. It might take long. It might never happen. But if you're praying according to his will, like save this guy, Rion saved. Lay hands on him later. That's praying in line with God's will. That's a prayer that he's going to answer. And we tend to pray like this. God, you know, I need to pray for my kids. I need to pray for work. I need to pray for money, my finances. I need to pray for my home. Let this bond be settled quickly. Lord, just help me in my job. And yes, we all pray those kind of prayers. And there's nothing wrong with praying those prayers. But God wants us to pray for somebody's salvation. Who are you praying for? See, the nice thing about praying, if I'm praying for Rion, he doesn't know that I'm praying for him. He doesn't have to know that I'm praying for him. Whose phone's that? That's God calling. You don't have to let the person know that you're praying for them. How cool is that? So I'm praying for Bobby. I don't have to go, hey, Bobby, just wanted to let you know I'm praying for you. Sometimes, I know there are certain people over here that do that. And that's fine. I've got no problem with that. It's very encouraging. Old Umian, here he sits here. Every time I see him, hey, Kim, I'm praying for you. And I love that. You know, I know somebody's got my back. He's praying for me. But, you know, if you're praying for somebody's salvation, you don't have to go and tell them and say, hey, Dave, I'm praying for your salvation. Particularly if he doesn't know God. He'll say, like, what are you on drugs? I don't want to know God. And you know what? The second thing is you don't have to get their permission to pray for them. You don't have to ask him, hey, Dave, can I pray for you? I want to pray for your salvation. He'll tell you to get lost. I remember I was walking on the beach in Malpus with a community that decided to go for a walk. And I saw a policeman coming with his colleague. So I thought, I'll do the noble thing. You know, this guy's been working all night. It's a late shift. And he's walking on the beach. He's had his uniform on. And I went to him and said, sir, I'm a pastor in the local church. Can I pray for you? And I thought he'd say, yes. He said, no, please don't. And he turned around and he walked away. So not everybody's open to receive it. You don't have to get their permission. You can just pray for them. The third thing is, you don't have to notify them that you're praying for them. You can instantly influence massively into a person's life when you start praying for them. You can change their lives as you pray for them. Sometimes we think it's cool to hang around with the most influential people, the shakers and the movers, the politicians, the singers, the pop stars, whatever they may be. You know what? You can still pray for those people. You can have influence over any person that you want to by praying for them. You can pray for the mayor of our city. Who knows what our mayor's name is, by the way? Dan Plata, well done. I never knew that. I had to Google it yesterday. You can pray for our president. Most of us know who our president is. It's not Zuma, eh? You can pray for an artist. You can pray for Trump. You can pray for your banker. No, Lord, just don't let him down and take my credit cards away from me. You know what? You can also pray for our friend Julius. Not Julius Caesar, Julius Malema. Now, a lot of you guys will never, ever meet this guy. You read about him and there's something in your heart that says, this guy is terrible. He hates white people. He wants to repossess all the farms. He's the guy that's behind the farm attack, supposedly. I don't know. But, you know, I don't even know this guy. I've read about him and geez, my hair on my back of my neck starts going up when I think about this guy. God says, pray for him. Pray for him. Bless your enemies. Don't curse them. And if we're praying for Julius, guess what? We're praying to God in heaven who can change things, can change him like this. And we start praying for him consistently, determinedly, and faithfully. I'm convinced that God will change him or that person that we're praying for. You see, as I said earlier on, we've got divine access to the throne room of God in heaven. And he calls us to pray for all people. The second point is, God invites us. He says, as we read earlier on, I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for all people. So God is asking you and I to get involved in these individual stories. He's, as God our creator, God who's so magnificent, beyond description. I mean, there's no person in this room as wise as what you may believe you are that can absolutely describe God. He's beyond description. But he's now, for some unknown reason, you can bring up the best theologists, best guys who understand doctrine backwards. You can bring them up here and say, please explain to me why God does this. Why does God invite you and me to pray for that person? It's going to be very difficult to explain it. He does because he can. And he says, I want you to be involved in that person's story. I want you to pray for everyone. And there's one thing that you're never going to do in heaven when you get there.
You can't pray for somebody's salvation when you're in heaven. And there's one thing that you hopefully will not be saying when you get into eternity one day, you say, I should have been praying less. You'll probably be saying, I should have eaten less. Oh, I should have. You know, Jesus came. It's such an inconvenient time. I was busy watching Netflix. And I haven't finished season 4. And I'm in whoosh up in eternity. And now what? There's no TV up here. And he says, pray. Pray for everything. Never cease. In other words, never stop. Not cease. Cease. Never stop praying for everyone. Intercede for people everywhere, all the time. The third point is, God is seeking them. I believe, this guy, I mean, he's just such a loser. I mean, I know him. There's no way God wants this guy in heaven with him. He's just going to spoil heaven. He's rotten to the core. I mean, oh, geez, if he gets close to God, God will change. This is how bad this guy is. Now, God says, pray for everyone. God is seeking them in Acts 17, 27, 28. He says, God who gives life and breath to all men, he determines the boundaries for all men. Why? So that we would search for him and find him, because God is not far from each one of us. Whether you're saved or not saved, God is here. He's close to the person when they seek him passionately and they want to find him with all their heart. God is available. So it doesn't matter who it is. Who have you got on your radar? The same person that you've got on your radar, God has that person on your radar as well. It could be your boss. It could be your colleague. It could be your dad. It could be your mom. It could be your uncle, your aunt, your siblings. God wants you to pray for those people, because God is moving towards that person all the time. He says, this person is precious to me. I gave my only son for this person. Pray for him. God has placed eternity in the hearts of all people. I think if somebody could come up with a fancy tablet that says, if you take this tablet, you will live forever. I mean, people will buy that thing. They'll sell their homes to buy that tablet. That's eternity. You know, the medication that people take, the creams that we put on our faces, the water that we drink, whatever, to keep us looking youthful. Why? Because we have eternity. We don't want to get old. We don't want to die. We have eternity in our hearts. And God has placed eternity in every man's heart. Not just you who are saved. Not just you who know Jesus Christ. It's every person. God has placed eternity in their hearts. And sometimes, like me, it just takes a little bit longer. It takes a couple of incidents. It takes a life that went on a couple of detours. It takes many people speaking into those lives. They say on average, before a person commits his life, he would have been spoken to about Jesus at least 8 times. And then eventually, okay, I get it. Sometimes it happens instantly. God just stuck, boom, and a person is saved. Sometimes it takes a journey where you go through life, the meanders of life, the difficulties of life, the experience of life, the hard knocks in life, where eventually you say, God. And he says, okay, I'm here. I'm listening. Now you have my attention. The fourth reason, a very important reason to highlight to you guys, is that the devil wants to devour them and destroy their lives. As long as the person is not saved, guess what? Satan has them in his crosshairs, and he wants to take them out. He wants to destroy them. Second Corinthians 4:3-6 NIV says this. And even if this gospel, our gospel, is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God, small g, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of God. They're blinded to this gospel. Who is the image of God? For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as servant for Jesus' sake. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Jesus Christ. The fifth point, prayer changes things. I just want that to sink in a moment. When you pray, prayer changes things. Now, some of us go like this. Old age. Lord, I'm feeling a bit tired. Late night, early morning. Lord, I reckon you must be tired as well. Lord, you're probably tired of me praying to you. Bing! Oh, my phone. Hang on. Let me just check what that is quickly. Oh, Lord, so, and that's our prayer life. Sometimes we pray, Lord, you've just got to fix this. Lord, you've just got to fix that. And we want things to happen instantly. And our prayer lives are a struggle. But if God would just open for a moment the curtains or the veil of heaven to see what happens when you are praying, you can get a vision when you start praying. This is what's happening in heaven. Now listen to this. He will say to you, hey, when you ask me that, I just dispatched angels across the nations. When you ask me that, I shifted kingdom plans to move that. When you just ask me that, the darkness has weakened. The power of the enemy was destroyed. When you ask me that, a connection just happened across the world. When you ask me that, a door just opened. Heaven began to move. When you asked me that, dominoes started to fall. You see, sometimes we'll, oh Lord, help me. I need a new job. And a month goes by and you're still sitting in the same job or you don't have a job. And sometimes it'll happen quite quickly. God invites us to participate with him. Not because he can't do anything without us, but he invites us and he says, come. You'll be amazed what can happen when you start praying earnestly, passionately, and determinedly for us. When we pray for a person, Lord, they need to be saved. Not just, Lord, help Rion. He needs all the help that he can get. We know that. Lord, Rion needs a revelation of you. Help them in their marriage, Lord. They're struggling in their relationship at the moment. But I believe, Lord, that they can get saved when you intervene in their lives. Fill them with your grace. Shake them up, Lord, that they may never be the same. Reveal yourself to them, Lord, so they may come to know the knowledge of who you are, how great you are, how amazing your mercy and your grace are. Lord, save them. Passionate prayer about that person's soul. Lord, fill them with your spirit so that they may be awakened to a new life. I want to start praying for salvation for people. Because when you do, you're going to see God is going to start shifting. Because he wants every man and every lady, every friend of yours to get saved. The second word that I'd like to share is share. So when we pray for a person, we pray for a person's salvation. We also got to ask God for opportunity. Not just, Lord, save Sean. You got to say, Lord, save Sean and give me the opportunity to share with him. So I said, I'm going to put this to test. Lord, save my daughter, Samantha. Guess what? I walk out of gym. Who do I bump into? Samantha. I didn't speak to her. She was in a rush. But the opportunities will come. You see, when you start praying these things, before you realize that God's going to give you an opportunity where you'll be standing face to face with that person, where you can start sharing the gospel with them. You're like, whoa, what happened? Yeah, that was so quick. God, I haven't even got all my plans in place. I haven't got, you know, my story together yet. God is quick when you ask Him to help you reach somebody when you're praying for them. See, it's our time to rise. It's our time to shine. It's our time to pray for individuals. How do we do these things? How do we shine and pray? How do we share this now? The most normal thing that you can do is to tell the person why you are different. The most normal thing you can do is tell a person why you are different. Remember, the kindest thing we can do is to pray for somebody else's salvation. But then we can start telling them why we are different. The problem with church guys, with you and me, not collectively us, is that we tend to say, Rion, you need to change. You need to look more like Liverpool supporters. We tend to point out why they should change instead of highlighting what God is doing in our lives. Why we are different. People say to you, why are you like that? I've had numerous occasions, even this week, I was telling Laureen, I went to gym, I think it was a Monday or Tuesday, and a lady came up to me and she says, you're so different. You're not like the other guys in this place. She says, what do you do? I said, I'm a pastor. She says, I'm so glad there's a godly man in this place. She says, I knew it. I'm off to mass now. I'm going to go and pray. I don't know if she's going to go and pray for me, or when she saw my body, she says, I'm definitely going to have to pray for you. You need to change. See, people, I remember, you know, we were selling Calvin Klein one day, and I walked in there, bumped into some old colleagues from Fashini Group in the specific hotel that we were staying in. We shared the same hotel. And people said, Kim, we can't believe how you have changed. You just don't seem to be the same person anymore. You see, and that is the opportunity. We say, well, let me tell you what God is doing in my life. And I used to be like that. I used to drink. I used to party. I used to sleep around. I used to do this. But God is changing me. God has shown me a different way. God is busy working in me. He's forming me. He's shaping me. He's molding me. He's making me more like His Son, Jesus Christ. So I haven't pointed a finger at them. I'm just so encouraged to tell them what God is doing in my life. 1 Peter 3:15 says this, and this helps us to take all the pressure off our lives when we come to sharing. 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared. Now that sounds like a lot of pressure. Got to get my Bible. I've got to get my study notes. I've got to get my thesaurus. I've got to get all my arguments, I've got to get Google, I've got to get all these things and walk around because I always want to be prepared. I need my degree and everything. No, that's not what he's saying over here. He says, always be prepared to do one thing, to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. All of you should be saying, amen, oh, that's cool, this is no pressure, it's very easy to talk about this. See, you don't have to be prepared to shoot down every argument of Christianity. This isn't about, you know, some big theological discussion. It's not about once saved, always saved. It's not about predestination. It's not about Arminianism versus Calvinism. The hope that's set before me is what God is doing inside of me. I'm a changed person because of what God is doing in me. When somebody says, hey, Kim, you look different. Why do you look so different? You mean you ripped? I've got a gift, and it's not a spiritual gift. I've got the ability to hold my stomach in while I'm preaching. You know, when somebody says, I don't know if you guys have noticed my beautiful wife, Laureen. Look how gorgeous she's looking, eh? So you see her, geez, Laureen, you look amazing. I say that to her every night. But I can't believe that you've lost 10 kgs. How did you do this? I mean, tell us. She says, wait a second. I've got to go home, prepare some notes, prepare a sermon. I've got to Google this. I've got to prepare my argument. If you give me a week, I'll get back to you. Now, if you go to Laureen now and say to her, Laureen, why are you looking so gorgeous? She'll say, I go to Zumba. I've been eating well. Kim chases me around the bedroom all night. So God calls us to shine. Amen. You will get asked, why are you different? Why are you different? I see you guys all standing here drinking, watching the rugby, but you're just standing in the arms folded eating the peanuts. Why are you different? It's my opportunity to shine Jesus. God will be moving all the time. You need to seize the opportunity when it arises. People will ask you, why are you different? You see, the biggest tragedy today, and I think it was Spurgeon, one of these guys said, in the past, Christians stood out. They were completely different to the guys in the world. But today, people in the church are no different to the people in the world. Because it took a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And instead of transforming our minds, we become a little bit more like the world. So it's very different to distinguish a lot of us who are sitting here, me standing here, than the people in the world that don't know Jesus. So we've got to shine. We've got to shine brightly for Jesus. A couple of thoughts, and then we're going to pray together as I land this. I believe people are far more interested in transformation than they are in information. People are far more interested in transformation than they are in information. You see, it's Christ that sets you free. When you are set free, you don't just carry that knowledge around with you. You start carrying the truth in the way you behave, in the way you react, in the way you talk, in the way you do things. Suddenly you have grace for the taxi drivers. Hello. Your life is transformed as you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And as you grow in faith, so you are transformed into His image more and more. You know, if you watch these commercials on TV, you've seen them? If you buy this and you put it around your waist, you can have a six-pack like Rion. All buff and... And you're like, blam, blam, blam. I've seen that before. Click, next commercial. And if you buy this, you too can look like this guy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, how many of you guys have bought that treadmill? How many of you guys have bought that thing and it's now a clothes horse in your bedroom? Be honest. Because it didn't work. You fell for that information, but you didn't see the transformation. You've heard about that diet and the person standing in front of you. Hey, man, I went on this diet. You say, yeah, sure. Didn't work. But if you see somebody like Laureen, stop picking on you. She's lost 10 kgs. See, what are you doing? Her life's transformed. Her figure's been transformed. And I'm the happiest guy walking. So you see, when people say, listen, I see that there's something different about you. Something different about the way you talk. There's something different about the way you behave. It's God doing a work in you through His Holy Spirit. God is busy transforming you into the likeness and the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. And this is your opportunity to shine to that person and say, listen, yeah, actually, I never used to be like this. But God. God is busy changing me, transforming. You know what? I get more hours of sleep than I used to. I don't lie in bed worrying about things that's going to happen tomorrow. God is in control. There's a peace about me that I never experienced in my life before. Can I tell you that when I was in the world, when I was working, before I'm doing what I'm doing at the moment, or before I committed my life to God, I used to worry every night. I used to worry about my finances. I had to drink myself to sleep, and I did this, and I did that. But God has changed me. Your biggest skeptic will have to believe you because they can see you have changed. They can see that there's been a transformation in you. This becomes your irrefutable argument. Now, if you're still in the world, if you still got one foot there, and you still go jawling, and you still go drinking, you still go sleeping around, you don't have an irrefutable argument. But when you stand this side and you say, look at what God's doing in me. Not the outward side, the inward side, my character. The hope that's set before me, Jesus Christ. That becomes my irrefutable argument. My own kids, after we got saved, Lauren and I, we were up in Mhlanga in KwaZulu-Natal. We got saved in October. We came home in January that year. My three kids went to Lauren and said, Mom, what's happened to Dad? We can't believe he's the same guy. Change. God is in the process of transforming me. She didn't sit down and say, okay, let me give you guys a lesson of what Kim did. She said, look at the transformation that God is doing in Kim. So it's beautiful. It's simple. You need to shine. Look at a light. Every time you see a light, I'm standing here. These things are very bright. You guys can see these lights over here. Every time you see a light, may it be a reminder to you that I'm called to shine. I have been called to shine. And then, every time you see a light and it's reminded you that you have been called to shine, I'm going to start praying. I pray for my three kids, my five grandchildren every single day. I pray for a number of you guys every single day. And sometimes the Lord is a little bit slower in changing some guys like Rion. But, you know, I've got faith in God that one of these days he'll be converted to a Liverpool supporter. And then finally, God wants you to share. It's as simple as that. Share what he's doing to you and in your life. Amen.